The 60th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "Governing a large country is like frying a small fish. You spoil it with too much poking. Approach the universe with the Tao and evil will have no power. Not that evil is not powerful, but its power will not be used to harm others. Not only will it not do harm to others, but the sage himself will also be protected. If only the ruler and his people would refrain from harming each other, all the benefits of life would accumulate to the kingdom." Unquote. Living with immunity to evil. Your assignment in this verse of the Tao Te Ching is to change the way you view the presence of evil in your personal world as well as the entire planet. You can do so by acquiring an inner awareness that evil simply can't impact you if you're centered within the protective net of the Tao. If you live in accordance with the Great Way, refusing to have injurious thoughts directed either toward yourself or others, then the powers of wickedness and wrongdoing will be rendered impotent. The Tao isn't about destruction or visiting harm on anyone. Rather, it gives sustaining energy to everyone without exception. When people violate this principle, they're only successful when others respond in kind. This is when war erupts and dissension becomes present in the family and the community. Negativity then begets more negativity, and the leader or ruler will ultimately be destroyed as the larger grouping falls into chaos. Update your viewpoint on the presence of malevolence in the world to one that emphatically affirms, "My loved ones and I cannot and will not be impacted by the presence of evil anywhere in this world." Your inner landscape will immediately begin to change as well. So when you see or hear reports of violent thinking and action, your immediate reaction must be, "This is not about me. I choose not to have any thoughts of harm directed to anyone by me. I am a being of light and love, and therefore the only thoughts that can emerge from me are in harmony with the great loving Tao." In other words, whatever comes your way because of other people won't evoke a plan of revenge and hatred. That's because you've made yourself immune to negativity by being Tao-centered. Now, you may think that this sounds too simplistic, but imagine if large numbers of people began thinking this way, and then imagine if rulers began to emerge from this kind of consciousness. As Lao Tzu says in this verse, quote, "If only the ruler and his people would refrain from harming each other, all the benefits of life would accumulate in the kingdom," unquote. Ultimately, our world must live by this principle or humanity will cease to exist, and it begins with you. As Tao awareness grows, one person, one family, one community, and one country at a time, priorities will shift. Our energies will go into building more environmentally sensitive vehicles and homes rather than instruments that reflect a belief that we can do whatever we want to the planet without repercussions. We'll find ways to destroy the stockpiles of unimaginably horrendous weapons of mass destruction. Cooperation will replace hatred and thoughts of harm. It will come about, as Lao Tzu states, when rulers and people change the way they think about harming each other. As you re-examine this passage of the Tao Te Ching, see how it can impact your daily life. When negativity feels like it's directed right at you, retreat to that place of kindness and love within and deflect that energy. Remember, it's impossible to pick a fight with someone who refuses to fight. So your refusal to enter into battle is your most potent weapon against evil. You can change an angry person's attempt to inflict harm by refusing to lower yourself to the level of their abusive thinking. From an enraged motorist's curse to the harsh words of a disgruntled clerk or upset family member, these outbursts are easily shifted when you stay centered inwardly. Become immune to such harmful thinking and action by knowing that none of this is about you. As he dictated this 60th verse some 2,500 years ago, Lao Tzu was thinking about all of humanity. He knew that hurtful behavior could be rendered impotent if enough people were willing to live in ways that encourage cooperation and a spirit of love in place of competition and revenge. Now he asks you to implement the wisdom of this verse by making the following changes in the way you think about evil and its potential impact on you and the world. First, begin your immunity to negativity by controlling yourself in the midst of noxious thinking. Catch yourself when you have judgmental thoughts that could be considered harmful for yourself or others. For example, if you see yourself as unworthy of respect, that's a damaging thought directed at you. Change it to the following affirmation: "I deserve and anticipate receiving only divine love. This is what I attract." When you're confronted with any reports of hatred and evil on our planet, suspend your fantasies of revenge toward the perpetrators. Change your mental energy to something like, I send loving, kind thoughts to all and trust that this love will help them see the folly of their hatred. Be conscious of all your thoughts, changing them midstream if necessary. Become one person who brings the benefits of the Tao to our world today. And two, declare yourself immune to injurious entreaties. Visualize a protective shield all around you, guarding you against what's perceived as evil in the world. Your shield is permeable only to energy that harmonizes with the Tao. Love, kindness, and help can all get through, but if any harm comes near you, it will be repelled by your shield. This means you create a great sense of faith in the Tao. With this kind of inner trust, when evil rages around you, it won't be able to impact you directly. Become the sage, the leader who governs your life and the lives of those around you who can't be hurt. Declare it, practice it in your every thought, and walk freely in the midst of danger. This isn't having a false sense of security. Instead, it's an awareness that you and the Tao are one. Do the Tao now. The next time you think that you're the target of a harmful thought from a stranger, a family member, or a coworker, make every effort to remember to respond from your inner nature, which is the Tao. Send back a loving, kind response, and then retreat to a silent and peaceful knowing that you've begun the process of immunizing yourself from harm. By practicing with even a seemingly innocuous statement, you'll witness how effective this is. Approach the universe with the Tao in your heart, rather than reacting defensively. The 61st verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, a great country is like the lowland toward which all streams flow. It is the reservoir of all under heaven, the feminine of the world. The female overcomes the male with stillness by lowering herself through her quietness. So if a great country lowers itself before a small one, it wins friendship and trust. And if a small country can lower itself before a great one, it will win over that great country. The one wins by stooping, the other by remaining low. Unquote. Living by remaining low. Most of us have been taught that it's important to tower over lesser folks in virtually all of life's endeavors. We're told to get to the top, stand out in the crowd, be the best, and honor champions who defeat challengers. We're expected to pay homage to those who make the most money, who collect the most material objects, and evoke the most fear and obedience because of their positions of power, and those who deign to live among the commoners are the least deserving of our respect. This passage of the Tao Te Ching invites you to reevaluate these beliefs. Look at the ocean. It's the most powerful force on the planet because it stays lower than the streams which are necessarily and inescapably drawn to it. As the rivers flow downward to become one with it, the sea is able to be the great reservoir of all under heaven. This is what Lao Tzu refers to throughout the Tao Te Ching as the Great Mother, or the feminine of the world. That female energy, or yin, is the true receptor of all. By remaining quiet and still, it ultimately overcomes male, yang, efforts to subjugate and conquer. In the 61st verse of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu speaks of the advantages of leading by remaining low, using entire countries as his examples. He makes the case for nations, both large and small, to be like the great ocean. As he observed warring territories attempting to vanquish each other by exerting their strength, he saw that peace and harmony could only be possible if the territories behaved in accord with the Tao, that is, by subjugating their egos rather than their neighbors. Lao Tzu was addressing countries and their political leaders in this chapter, but countries are made up of individual men and women. We need to become a critical mass of individuals who are willing to model the wisdom that the great Chinese master offers us. We all must learn the value of making a dramatic change in the way we think of ourselves and each other. Yes, it may require a complete about-face on our part, but if we begin to lessen ego-dominated thinking, sooner or later the world will get the message that Lao Tzu proposed in ancient times. Nations all over the globe will find that leaders with feminine yin energy are beneficial. After all, this is the way of nature. It is the Tao at work. You can apply the wisdom of this verse in the business world or with anyone you encounter by updating the notion that towering above others is the yang approach of masculine domination is the way to get ahead. Instead, see the value of living as if you can win trust and friendship through a yin approach of feminine receptivity and stillness. As you try on these new attitudes and behaviors, quietly watch as the energy from the following suggestions begin to influence your reality. Reassess your personal view of what constitutes strength. Can you see power in humility, stillness, and remaining low and out of sight? In martial arts, the strongest conqueror is the one who uses the least force and converts the lunges of his opponent into his own might. Look at the story of violence throughout human history. Those obsessed with positions of power ultimately resort to brutality and then incur the same kinds of violence on themselves. And so it is in your own personal life. By staying calm and under the radar, others will ultimately flow to you, joining with you in creating friendship and trust. As you stay in this yin, feminine, divine mother mode, you will radiate energy and strength and win others over, including those with an aversion to change. Think of yourself as the ocean and stay low enough to allow all others to stream down to you and create a great country wherever you elect to settle. And secondly, emulate those whose greatest impact on humanity use the least violent methods. There are many examples to be found for living by remaining low, replicating the example of stillness and yin energy. Jesus Christ, Buddha, Muhammad, Zoroaster, St. Francis of Assisi, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, and others of the highest spiritual persuasion serve as wonderful role models for us. By demonstrating the exact opposite of what has become known as power by force, they change the course of human history. Furthermore, they are remembered with the highest esteem by all people. You can become a similar leader of the Tao in your immediate environment, smiling inwardly as you see yourself as that low, patient ocean. All those who wish to tower above you in conquest will ultimately flow down to you. Do the Tao now. Each day, as you grapple with how to be an effective leader in your family, in your country, and in the world, apply the following advice from Sai Baba. This is what he counsels readers to do whenever they question what action to take or how to think. Quote, when headfast eyes are horrified by the cruelties of life, when your mouth is parched and you can hardly speak, the first sip of cool water, I am soothing you. Think of me. Unquote. In a moment of crisis, silently say, think of me, to your mental image of the person who won you over by stooping and remaining low. You'll immediately find your way, as if that individual were directing you to overcome the struggle, the addiction, or the ego-dominated thoughts that seem to take you away from your feminine Tao nature. The 62nd verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, the Tao is the treasure house, the true nature, the secret source of everything. It is the treasure of the good man and the refuge of the bad. If a person seems wicked, do not cast him away. Awaken him with your words. Elevate him with your deeds. Repay his injury with your kindness. Do not cast him away. Cast away his wickedness. Thus, when a new leader is chosen, do not offer to help him with your wealth or your expertise. Help him to meditate on the principle. Offer instead to teach him about the Tao. Why did the ancients make so much of the principle? Is it not because it is the source of all good and the remedy for all evil? It is the most noble thing in the world. Unquote. Living in the treasure house of the Tao. Imagine having access to a very special place where we could retreat and commune with the sacred source of everything. Here we'd find the treasure of the good man and a space where the bad man goes to be forgiven. This is where great rulers and the wisest among us would meditate for guidance to carry out awesome responsibilities, where we'd be given the secret for casting out all wickedness without personally needing to cast out anyone ourselves. In this wonderful locale, we would absolutely know the source of good as well as the remedy for evil. As I studied and contemplated this passage, I began calling it the Count Your Blessings verse. It reminds me that I can access a sacred treasure house deep within me, as can you and all other conscious beings. It reminds me to change the way I see the appearance of darkness in our world today. It reminds me that within me is the wondrous wellspring of the Tao. It reminds me to be willing to change the way I view myself and my role here as one of the 10,000 things. You can modify your conditioned way of viewing most things by looking at all that appears to be weighted with hatred, wickedness, and evil. According to Lao Tzu, no one is evil or wicked. Rather, those who live in contradiction to the Tao's teachings only appear to be so. Instead of casting them aside, you must reconnect them to the great way. So stay centered by thinking and behaving in ways that harmonize with the all-loving, all-knowing Tao, keeping in mind that this source doesn't inflict harm on, exclude, or judge anyone. It just gives life. Where you perceive negativity, alter your view to see pure love and kindness that's mistakenly being directed to seek a sacred place in the material world. That energy is powerful, and it's moving away from its source instead of returning and replenishing in the spiritual cycle that is its originating point. When you've succeeded in changing how you perceive so-called wickedness, invite others to see the difference as well. Thanks to your new point of view, you'll be quite comfortable discussing the difference between material world satisfactions and the riches of the Tao. And if requested, you'll be able to offer a map or a path to the sacred treasure house of the Tao. In a translation of the Tao Te Ching by Gia Fu Feng and Jane English, the 62nd verse concludes with the following words, quote, "Why does everyone like the Tao so much at first? Isn't it because you find what you seek and are forgiven when you sin? Therefore, this is the greatest treasure of the universe." Unquote. Here's what Lao Tzu offers you in this Count Your Blessings gem of a verse. First, practice seeing the door of the treasure house opening to you. See yourself as a divine creation of the eternal Tao with the entrance to a sacred space always available to you. Know that what you thought of as negative can never be if it's able to enter the treasure-filled Tao. Visualize a house that's opening its front door to you and welcoming you to bask in the sacred warmth of its interior, and imagine leaving all angst and fear behind as you walk in. Make this home of the Tao a private retreat that you're free to enter with this meditative visualizing technique. It is divinity itself, and it can be your sanctuary at any time. And two, practice forgiving and avoiding judgment when you see reprehensible or evil-minded ways. Take Lao Tzu up on his advice for dealing with those who appear to be wicked people by mentally separating the individuals from their toxic behavior. Remember that they are divine creations of the Tao who simply believe that ego should control life. In your thoughts, erase the vileness, the wrongdoing, and the addictive or harmful actions, and allow those folks to just be there apart from their malevolent behavior. See the unfolding of the Tao in them, and picture them as innocent children who are overstimulated by ego's temporary stronghold. In your mind, forgive the evil conduct, and make every effort to wrap loving arms around the children you see before you. Lao Tzu urges you to treat yourself in a similar manner. Cast out any behavior you dislike about yourself, allow your pain to be felt, and absolve yourself. With these behaviors removed, visualize embracing yourself, and notice the radiant being of light who is yourself in your imagination. Practice elevating yourself with your Tao deeds and doling out kindness to others as well as yourself. This is how you apply this verse of the Tao, which is indeed the remedy for all evil. Do the Tao now. Today, make the decision to help one other person, if only for a few moments, to meditate on this verse's principle, but do so without mentioning the Tao Te Ching or this recording. Possibly send out an expression of love where you might have chosen anger, or mail a greeting card with a particularly meaningful verse of the Tao to someone who's assumed a new position of leadership. Whatever you do, your motivation is to help that man or woman unlock the door to his or her treasure house by offering keys in the form of your own Tao-centered thoughts and behaviors. The 63rd verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "Practice non-action. Work without doing. Taste the tasteless. Magnify the small. Increase the few. Reward bitterness with care. See simplicity in the complicated. Achieve greatness in little things. Take on difficulties while they are still easy. Do great things while they are still small. The sage does not attempt anything very big, and thus achieves greatness. If you agree too easily, you will be little trusted, because the sage always confronts difficulties. He never experiences them." Unquote. Living without difficulties. This verse conveys so much with an economical use of words. Every time I read what Lao Tzu is saying here, I feel that it's impossible for me to experience difficulties in my life if I'm willing to accept his sage advice. He counsels that we learn to think in moments rather than in days, weeks, months, years, decades, or a lifetime. All we ever get is right now. That's it. So we must avoid the inclination to magnify tiny events or worry about a future that may never arrive. It's the little things that make all the difference in our world, and keeping life simple replaces chaos. As Lao Tzu reminds us, see simplicity in the complicated. Do great things while they are still small. I followed that advice while writing the entire book that you're listening to. As you might imagine, writing individual essays on the 81 verses of one of the most revered and enduring spiritual texts has been a daunting task. A project like this involves at least a year of daily researching, reading, writing, and revising. Yet instead of focusing on the challenges of this project, I choose to see simplicity and take on difficulties while they are still easy. I immerse myself in a single verse in the morning, allowing the words to flow through my heart and onto the page. I feel like I've mastered the ironic conclusion of this 63rd passage, which says that difficulties are not experienced when they're confronted. This, then, is the wisdom of this verse. There's no such thing as difficulty when you live in the present moment, doing only what you can do right now. So examine your thoughts about what you call the troubles in your life. Can you shift to thinking of every undertaking as not only manageable but easy and small as well? After all, how do you pursue a difficult course of study that will take several years to complete? By not projecting yourself into the future or using your present moments to worry, how do you get through the long, difficult process of giving birth to a child, moment by moment? I've watched my wife do just that during the years she was either pregnant or nursing, delivering 5 children in 8 years. As Lao Tzu teaches, if you don't attempt anything big, you will achieve greatness. Almost every morning I do a 90-minute hot yoga class with 26 postures and 2 breathing exercises. Now, an hour and a half of intense activity in a room that's more than 105 degrees can seem not only big, but very difficult as well. I've learned to change the way I think about this daily routine that I enjoy so much, and now I find it to be easy. As this first breathing exercise begins, I keep my mind and body totally focused on what I'm doing in the opening moment. If my mind wants to wander to what I'll be doing in an hour, I just bring it back to the present. I look in the mirror and remind myself that this exercise or posture is small and simple. Bingo! Difficult is out of the picture. By practicing in the present moment and training myself to stay in a state of simplicity, I've made my 90-minute yoga class a snap. I've achieved what I consider to be greatness in the little progressions and improvements that have evolved naturally. It's work without doing and non-action inaction because I've confronted what might have been thought of as tough. The result is that I don't experience difficulty. Lao Tzu urges you to change the way you look at your 21st century world by doing the following. First, look for the simplicity in what you call complicated by seeing that, in this moment, it's not hard. Change your preoccupation with tomorrow along with all of the tomorrows that comprise your future. My friend Byron Katie, whose husband Stephen Mitchell created a wonderful translation of the Tao Te Ching that I've incorporated into this recording, gave me my favorite definition of insanity. Quote, to believe that you need what you don't have is insane, unquote. I'd add, quote, believing that you can't be content and happy now because your future appears to you to be difficult is another form of insanity, unquote. Look at what you have and realize that you're obviously fine in this moment. A Course in Miracles states this idea so well, quote, you have no problems, though you think you have, unquote. And next, think small, advises Lao Tzu. Think small. Change your notion of thinking big to thinking small and getting big things done. Examine whatever it is that seems so enormous that it terrifies you to start. Then shift your thinking to see what can be done today in your precious present moments, completely ignoring the overall picture. Your accomplishments will magnify into greatness when you undertake the small. By doing so, you will paradoxically see huge results. Do the Tao now. Set aside some time today to focus on the biggest challenge in your life. Break down whatever it is to one thing that can be done today, right now, in this moment. Erase the big picture. Simply do what you can now and let everything else fade. Write the opening paragraph of your novel. Lay out your blueprint for the home you want to build. Sign up for one course at a local educational institution. Go for a 2-minute run. Be in the now. See how doing the Tao at this moment brings big results by paradoxically staying small and simple. The 64th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, what is at rest is easily managed. What is not yet manifest is easy to prevent. The brittle is easily shattered. The small is easily scattered. Act before things exist. Manage them before there is disorder. Remember, a tree that fills a man's embrace grows from a seedling. A tower 9 stories high starts with 1 brick. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Act and destroy it. Grasp it and lose it. The sage does not act, and so is not defeated. He does not grasp, and therefore does not lose. People usually fail when they are on the verge of success. So give as much care at the end as at the beginning. Then there will be no failure. The sage does not treasure what is difficult to attain. He does not collect precious things. He learns not to hold on to ideas. He helps the 10,000 things find their own nature, but does not venture to lead them by the nose. Unquote. Living by being here now. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step is the most famous line of the entire Tao Te Ching. It's quoted so often because it encourages us to avoid procrastination and just begin from where we are, right here, right now. A tiny seed planted and nurtured grows into a forest. A marathon begins by taking that first stride. In my opinion, the German poet and playwright Johann von Goethe nicely summed up this ancient teaching with these rhyming words. Only engage, and then the mind grows heated. Begin it, and then the work will be completed. The essence of the widely known 64th verse of the Tao Te Ching is this: every goal is possible from here. With the emphasis on from here, this is particularly applicable to problems that seem overwhelming. When you change the way you think about them, your new and unique perspective will cause the enormity of the things before you to diminish. The sage does not treasure what is difficult, because he breaks it down into easily managed steps. Rather than taking over and directing others or attempting to do everything himself, the follower of the Tao finds a way to manage problems before they exist and prior to disorder breaking out. Lao Tzu is encouraging all of us to do the same. Re-examine how you view the challenges you face as well as those of your family, community, and country. Sense in your heart how easily preventable many of them are when you deal with things before they exist, and when you refuse to be attached to the ideas that are largely responsible for these problems. There are 3 steps to enlightenment that most people traverse. The first is through suffering. This is when the big problems of your life become so overwhelming that a long period of misery ensues because you treasure what is difficult to attain. Ultimately, you come to a place where you can look back at those huge obstacles, such as illnesses, accidents, addictions, financial loss, children's struggles, divorce, and so on, and see in retrospect that they were actually gifts disguised as problems. Yet this is not the way of the Tao. This is not how a sage conducts his life. The second is by being in the present moment. Here you've moved closer to the Tao by asking yourself when a crisis erupts, what do I have to learn from this experience right now? I know there's a gift hidden for me in this misfortune, and I'll focus on looking for it in the moment. While this is Tao-centered thinking, it's not all that Lao Tzu wants to convey in this 64th verse. The third is by getting out in front of big problems. This means that you act before difficulties occur. You sense disorder coming your way, and you manage it in advance. This is the way of the Tao. The small is easily scattered, says Lao Tzu. So here, you're the acute observer who's totally in tune with nature. With foresight, you anticipate an argument, you play it out in your mind in a split second, and are able to neutralize the negative energy because you were in front of it. You've responded by not acting in your former problem-producing ways, and are thus harmonized with the Tao. At this stage, you prevent difficulties rather than solve them. This verse invites you to master the third or Tao-centered method. Here are some suggestions for doing so. First, remind yourself of the inherent value in practicing the most enduring line from the entire Tao Te Ching, a journey of 1,000 miles, begins with a single step. Forget about the end result. When you arrive where you thought you wanted to be, you'll just begin a new journey. So enjoy each step along the way and keep in mind that every goal is possible from here. Just do one thing, one day at a time. Here's an example of this from my own life. It has now been almost 2 decades since I've had a drink containing alcohol. Had I thought about not drinking for 20 years, it would have been overwhelming and really difficult. Yet I've done it one day at a time. I can't speak for the next 20 years, but one thing I'm absolutely certain of is that today, and today alone, I will not be taking a drink. One step, one moment, one day at a time. It is the Tao in action. And secondly, become a master anticipator. Decide that you're perfectly capable of preventing trouble from cropping up in your life long before it manifests into your material world. Anticipate your own health, for instance. Become conscious of prevention rather than waiting for challenges to materialize. By taking care to be nutritiously sound as a way of life, such as by taking supplements that remove toxins from your body, cleansing your colon, eating more fruits and vegetables and fewer animal products, exercising and meditating, you're out in front of big problems. You're foreseeing what you need to do while you're capable of scattering the small, managing your health in harmony with the Tao long before there's disorder. Find other areas of your life to practice being a master anticipator. Do the Tao now. Take one habit that you'd like to see removed from your life, such as something that you believe constitutes a weakness or perhaps even an addiction. Just for today, and with no promises about tomorrow or the future, take a single step to transcend this habit. Don't smoke or drink caffeine. Just today. Eat only veggies and fruit. Just today. Speak warmly to hostile neighbors. Just today. Notice at the end of this one day how you feel. Then, and only then, decide if tomorrow morning you wish to continue practicing the wisdom of the Tao Te Ching, which was itself written one word and one day at a time and has lasted for more than 25 centuries. The 65th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "The ancient ones were simple-hearted and blended with the common people. They did not shine forth. They did not rule with cleverness, so the nation was blessed. When they think that they know the answers, people are difficult to guide. When they know that they do not know, people can find their own way. Not using cunning to govern a country is good fortune for the country. The simplest pattern is the clearest. Content with an ordinary life, you can show all people the way back to their own true nature." Unquote. Living by staying simple-hearted. If you are currently in the important position of ruling a country, I encourage you to take this wisdom especially to heart. If you're not, I suggest studying this passage of the Tao Te Ching from the perspective of your personal life, which most likely involves leading others. Supervising or parenting shouldn't mean imposing bureaucratic rules or impressing others with your supposed intelligence and superiority. A truly influential person isn't cunning, doesn't shine forth or rule with cleverness, or instill fear in those he or she is designed to oversee. As Lao Tzu explains, when they know they do not know, people can find their own way. In other words, the effective leader guides others to their own nature. The realization you're invited to consider here is that your job is to help others know that they don't know. If they believe that they do have knowledge, then they'll never find their way back to their own Tao nature. That's because they're relying on ego input, which tells them that their true essence is their identification with the physical or material world. One who lives according to the Tao knows that ego is a false master, drawing people away from knowing their true nature. Implement the teachings of this verse by refusing to convey superiority or intellectual ingenuity. Instead, show others how to live from the Tao perspective by being willing to admit that you don't know what's best for them, nor do you even know with any degree of certainty how your own life should go. Let other people know that you're willing to ask for guidance. Show them that you're not in charge, either of them or what happens to you. Allow them to see a man or woman who's humble, lives peacefully in the cycles of life, and stays simple-hearted. As you change the way you look at leadership, you'll see that individuals who are willing to surrender their egos enjoy a connection to their Tao energy and become simple-hearted leaders. Their only task is to help everyone in their sphere of influence realize that they also do not know. Lao Tzu seems to smile wryly as he informs you of this wondrous paradox. Blend in with those whom you feel compelled to supervise by trying on these new ways of thinking and being. First, be willing to proudly say to those in your charge, "I don't know." This phrase is a symbol of strength rather than weakness, so use it freely. When you teach others to do the same, they'll begin to allow their highest selves to be guided by the great way. Keep in mind that nature never forces anything to grow, but is silently and invisibly ever present, Do the same to the best of your ability by not forcing yourself and your ideas on anyone, with sensible precautions for those too young or too immature to take on adult responsibilities. The simple truth is that neither we nor anyone else really know what's ideal for ourselves or others. There's a silent destiny always at work. There are fortunes as well as misfortunes in every life, independent of our particular opinions. And secondly, practice keeping your life simple and uncomplicated. Model this behavior for those you feel obliged to lead. Rather than analyzing a situation from every angle, trying to come up with the most viable solution, trust your first instinct and take the simplest and least problematic route. Don't pole vault over mouse turds. By the time you've discussed the many options available to you, the problem itself could have been long behind you had you simply disposed of those rodent droppings with a simple tissue and dumped them into the garbage. Here's some great advice for you, as well as the leaders of countries who are often so mired in bureaucratic red tape that they become paralyzed. Keep it simple. Do the Tao now. In as many ways as possible, demonstrate your understanding of what Lao Tzu meant by asking leaders to be content with an ordinary life. Spend a day without the label of parent, supervisor, or boss, and put yourself on an equal footing with those who usually look to you for direction. Think of yourself as one of those you lead. In fact, pretend that you are him or her for one day. This will give you an awareness of how to put the Tao to work right away. I've found that when I practice this with my children, they respond according to their own best and true nature. For example, when I simply say to my teenage daughter, "I know that you're perfectly capable of being responsible and sensible while I'm out of town, and I love that about you," I remove the authoritarian parent label and treat her the way I want her to be treated myself. When this becomes the norm, it's obvious that Lao Tzu is correct. The simplest pattern is the clearest. The 66th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "Why is the sea king of 100 streams? Because it lies below them. Humility gives it its power. Therefore, those desiring a position above others must speak humbly. Those desiring to lead must follow. Thus it is that when a sage stands above the people, they do not feel the heaviness of his weight. And when he stands in front of the people, they do not feel hurt. The sage stays low, so the world never tires of exalting him. He remains a servant, so the world never tires of making him its king." Unquote. Living by emulating the sea. Unlike the perception of God as an old white man who created a universe where your behavior may cause you to be sentenced to damnation for eternity, the Tao is perceived as a natural energy. The source of life isn't seen as a deity monitoring earthlings like a king or a dictator, since it doesn't dole out punishments or withhold rewards. Lao Tzu taught that the Tao only asks you to live in harmony with nature. For Lao Tzu, nature's great symbol is water, and he refers to it many, many times in the 81 passages of the Tao Te Ching. When you emulate that element, you'll begin to see that judgment and exclusion have no place in the Tao. "Be like the sea," advises Lao Tzu, "and the world would never tire of exalting you." The essential message presented in this verse and in many others of the Tao Te Ching is that the ocean is king of all because it knows how to stay low. All streams must ultimately flow to the sea, and in the process, it becomes a servant to all. The teachings here are clear. Be humble. Never put yourself above others or see yourself as superior to anyone. The highest power is a yielding valley. Become a servant, not a dominator. When even the tiniest waterways are left alone, they uniquely carve out a path that leads them to the sea. And the great ocean never lords its greatness and power over the rivers and streams. It doesn't rise above them and demand devotion, nor does it threaten them with punishment or extinction if they refuse to cooperate. The sea knows instinctively that the streams and rivers will naturally gravitate toward that which stays low. Using this metaphor throughout the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu reminds you that people also tend to be instinctively drawn to those with intrinsic majesty that emerges from humility and staying low. And this position isn't uniquely held by the great master. Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, offers an almost identical message in the New Testament centuries after the death of Lao Tzu. Quote, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Unquote. 1 Peter 5:2-3. Change the way you think about yourself and others as model leaders by looking to the massive, life-giving sea who's patient, accepting, and lower than the streams that flow to it. Then imitate that water power yourself by suspending your ego and releasing the need to lord anything over anyone. The people you're entrusted to lead will gravitate to you and the watercourse way of the Tao's natural flow. You're advised to learn from the way water behaves and imitate it as much as possible in your life. Here are ways to apply the wisdom of emulating the sea in your life today. First, never assume that you know what's best. Even if you're older, wiser, and richer than others, and have more influence and more power than they do, never assume that you know what's best for anyone. Instead, imagine yourself as the great ocean that allows and encourages the smaller streams to come to you. Stay low, speak softly, and remain humble, and let others be in control of their lives as much as is humanly possible. By seeing yourself as the all-receiving sea, you remove your ego from the picture and thus become like one of the leaders referred to in this verse of the Tao Te Ching. No one should feel the heaviness of your directions or be hurt by your instructions. A situation that allowed me to implement this advice occurred on the day I wrote this essay. I live on Maui, and my 90-year-old mother is in Florida, where my daughter Sage also resides. My mother was experiencing a stomach ache and nausea from some strong medication she'd taken, so I phoned my daughter to see if she had any suggestions for getting some yogurt over to her. Sage's immediate response was, "We have some yogurt right here. I'll take it over to Grandma's." Rather than giving her an order and instructing her to tend to her grandmother, I allowed my daughter to be of service while I stayed in the lowest possible place. And secondly, remain a servant. See yourself as someone who's on this planet to assist others. Look for opportunities to be of aid, particularly to those who need your leadership. Remember that the Great Sea serves everyone by being a life-supporting receiver of all who wish to partake of her bounty. So practice emulating her by expressing the Tao. Do the Tao now. Dedicate a day to leading by serving as opposed to giving orders. Find occasions to stifle your learned habit of interfering and telling others what to do and allow them to flow to you instead. Commit to this principle further by encouraging someone to make the decision rather than following your orders. The 67th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "All the world talks about my Tao with such familiarity. What folly! The Tao is not something found at the marketplace or passed on from father to son. It is not something gained by knowing or lost by forgetting. If the Tao were like this, it would have been lost and forgotten long ago. I have three treasures which I hold fast and watch closely. The first is mercy, the second is frugality, the third is humility. From mercy comes courage, from frugality comes generosity, from humility comes leadership. Now if one were bold but had no mercy, if one were broad but were not frugal, if one went ahead without humility, one would die. Love vanquishes all attackers. It is impregnable in defense. When heaven wants to protect someone, does it send an army? No, it protects him with love." Unquote. Living by the three treasures. You're being invited to change your life by seeing it through the prism of this ancient verse of the Tao Te Ching, which instructs you on the three things you need for a Tao-styled life of success. Mercy is the name used here for the first treasure, but additional terms such as compassion, good-heartedness, love, kindness, and charity have been employed in other translations. You've very likely been weaned on a model of achievement that's measured by accumulation, accomplishment, and acquisition of power and influence over others. Successful people are usually considered to be narrowly focused on their own goals, oblivious to anything but getting to the top, and ruthless in preventing anyone else from getting what they're after. Lao Tzu, however, says that the first and most important treasure is what true courage stems from, not from a heartless and callous attitude. He even tells you that boldness without mercy is a prescription for death. So you're encouraged to think of others first by being willing to serve and exhibit kindness and love, even toward your enemies, instead of seeking external indicators to prove that you're successful. William Shakespeare speaks of the first treasure in The Merchant of Venice. Quote, "The quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven. But mercy is above this sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. Unquote. The great playwright then reminds us with his next lines why Lao Tzu made mercy the top priority of the three treasures. Quote, it is an attribute to God himself, and earthly power doth then show like as God's when mercy seasons justice. Unquote. Mercy, compassion, and kindness are all attributes of God and the Tao. Lao Tzu saw this truth many centuries before Shakespeare did. Secondly, the second treasure is frugality, or what was referred to in other translations as economy, moderation, thrift, or simplicity. Now, frugality and moderation don't generally spring to mind when those at the pinnacle of achievement are described. However, according to Lao Tzu, being satisfied with less rather than more results in great generosity. So be willing to take only what you need and don't accumulate or hoard. The less attached you are to your stuff, the easier it is to be generous. The more you cling to it, the more you feel you need, and the less concerned you are with the welfare of others. The third treasure necessary for a successful life is called humility, which other translations refer to as not presuming to be above nature, daring not to be ahead of others, and not always trying to be number one. From this quality, Lao Tzu reminds us, comes true leadership that radiates Tao energy. Often, our perceptions of strength, power, and triumph is influenced by the yang masculine qualities of arrogance, loftiness, and self-importance. So when you change the way you think about enlightened leadership, you can discover what genuinely successful people have learned before you. That is, that we're all instruments for Tao or God, or whatever you call the energy that writes the books, delivers the speeches, makes the life-saving discoveries, and so on. Humility is akin to surrendering to a force greater than your ego, giving credit to that source, and being grateful for any wisdom and influence that's given to you by that power. Be humble, stay low, and be a generous, grateful leader. Here are some ways to apply these three treasures to your daily life. Live in harmony with the myriad manifestations of the Tao. The key to living in harmony is compassion and mercy. You're not in competition with anyone, so don't feel as if you must defeat another person or compare yourself on any level. Extend mercy and compassion toward every form of life, including yourself. When you radiate love and respect for all, you'll be aligned with the Tao, which will protect you as if you were a baby in the arms of a loving mother. And see the strengths of simplicity and humility in those whom you may have previously judged to be weak or ineffective leaders. Those who practice frugality and refuse to hoard or engage in conspicuous consumption deserve to be viewed as strong examples of how to guide others, whereas those who speak and act forcefully while stockpiling more and more goods are not in harmony with the Tao. Moreover, such individuals' actions tend to contribute to more dissension, and as Lao Tzu reminds us here, those who go ahead with boldness and without deference will die, and I hasten to add, will lead others to their deaths as well. As you notice example of simplicity and humility in those who are in positions to lead, make every effort to emulate the same qualities in your own daily interactions. Do the Tao now. Choose a conversation in which you can practice the three treasures by using an economy of words. While attempting to make a point in conversation, for instance, stop yourself after a moment or so and use your talking time to listen. You'll be employing all three of Lao Tzu's treasures at one time. You'll have mercy for the person with whom you're conversing by being frugal with your words and humbly refusing to be ahead of or above your conversational partner. The 68th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, a good soldier is not violent. A good fighter is not angry. Good winners do not contend. Good employers serve their workers. The best leader follows the will of the people. All of them embody the virtue of non-competition. This is called the virtue of non-contending. This is called employing the power of others. This, since ancient times, has been known as the ultimate unity with heaven. Unquote. Living by cooperating. This verse of the Tao Te Ching asks you to reconsider what you think you have to do to be a winner. In the Western world, getting ahead most often implies having to be in a state of contention and competition. Basically, you must defeat the other guy by getting what you want before he does. Lao Tzu asks you to change this kind of thinking by embodying the virtue of non-competition, which can work for you even in a society where conquering and being number one are so highly valued. The Tao Te Ching teaches that all of the 10,000 things emerge from the same state of non-being. Here, there's only oneness, which implies complete collaboration, not competition. Who can there be to defeat if you see yourself in everyone? You'd be picking a fight with yourself. Lao Tzu asks that you follow his advice and choose to live by cooperating. Believe it or not, this can actually work to your advantage in athletic competitions. Rather than thinking of an opponent as an enemy and employing anger and mental and physical violence, remind yourself of Lao Tzu's words in the opening of this verse. A good soldier is not violent. A good fighter is not angry. Good winners do not contend. Instead, such individuals view their opponents as part of themselves and as crucial members of this dance of life. So rather than being angry and hateful toward opponents in a tennis match or a football game, see them as part of you that's working to help you achieve excellence. Without them, you couldn't improve, get a good workout, or even become victorious. Do as Lao Tzu advises and employ the powers of others to elevate yourself to the status of winner. That is, cooperate with your opponents by wanting them to play at a high level, the best they're capable of. Shift your focus from being upset or self-reproaching to the task at hand. See the ball, move the ball, or remain upright and balanced in a martial arts contest. When anger isn't a component, your game will go to a new level. And this is true off the athletic field as well. What you fight weakens you. What you cooperate with strengthens you. So change your thinking about competing to cooperating in all areas of your life, including your work. I practice this concept by thinking of every person whose purpose is to help improve the quality of life on our planet as being my partner on my team. I cannot conceive of anyone out there whom I'm in competition with for any external prize. If they sell more books than I do, I applaud their good fortune. In fact, I'll tell as many people as I can to buy their products. If they make more money, get more publicity, or reach more people, I celebrate by thinking, my teammate has helped me with my mission. When I play a close tennis match, I silently send love and encouragement to my opponent. When I'm less stressed, less angry, and less violent in my thinking, I'm living in the moment that Lao Tzu calls the ultimate unity with heaven. My level of excellence soars regardless of the outcome on the scoreboard. This is what Lao Tzu recommends to you from his 2,500-year-old perspective. First, declare that you're not going to fight. Don't fight colds, illnesses, or even serious afflictions. Don't fight with family members or against political opinions. Don't fight addictions. And most important, don't fight yourself. Instead, make the shift to living by cooperating. If you have cancer or arthritis cells in your body, talk to them from that perspective. If you insist on living in my body, I wish to live in harmony, peace, and total health with you. Otherwise, I invite you to take up residence elsewhere. This may sound strange, but it puts you back in harmony with the Tao, which isn't violent, hateful, or angry. Also, when it comes to your children and other family members, see yourself as their ally, daily practicing the virtue of non-contending. And second, practice seeing yourself in everyone else. If someone you love is hurting, you experience their pain. Therefore, whenever you say or do something that's harmful to someone you love, you're doing something to harm yourself. Extend this awareness to all of humanity. After all, you share the same originating spirit, or Tao, with every living being in the universe. When you see your own spirit in a cooperative embrace with all others, you'll know what Lao Tzu means by the ultimate unity with heaven. Here are some marvelous words from Pablo Casals that express this thought. Quote, "When will we teach our children what they are? We should say to each of them, do you know what you are? You are a marvel. You are unique. In all the years that have passed, there has never been another child like you. Your legs, your arms, your cunning fingers, the way you move, you may become a Shakespeare, a Michelangelo, a Beethoven. You have the capacity for anything. Yes, you are a marvel. And when you grow up, can you then harm another who is like you, a marvel?" Unquote. Do the Tao now. Affirm that you'll think of your opponent as an extension of yourself in your next competitive encounter. Vow to mentally send that person love, surround him or her in light, and pray that he or she will perform at their highest level. Then note how your own performance improves and carries you to a new level of excellence. The 69th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "There is a saying among soldiers, I dare not make the first move, but would rather play the guest. I dare not advance an inch, but would rather withdraw a foot. This is called going forward without advancing, pushing back without using weapons. There is no greater misfortune than feeling I have an enemy, for when I and enemy exist together, there is no room left for my treasure. Thus, when two opponents meet, the one without an enemy will surely triumph. When armies are evenly matched, the one with compassion wins." Unquote. Living without enemies. Imagine a world with a common heritage that bonded all beings on the planet. A world that didn't know the word enemy, where everyone happily agreed that we're all one people, originating from the same source of non-being. Picture a world that understood that harming anyone would be analogous to harming oneself. Unfortunately, while there's never been such a state of affairs among humans during the entire written history of civilization, this is the vision of Lao Tzu in the 69th verse of the Tao Te Ching, and it's my vision for what's possible when we work at being Tao-centered people with Tao-centered leadership. This grand vision begins right here, right now, with you. Remove the concept of enemy from your life and model this behavior for those around you. Ultimately, the ripple effect will move everyone around the globe toward an enemy-less world. Recently, a deranged man armed with guns and ammunition barricaded himself in an Amish schoolhouse in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where he proceeded to murder several girls. As the peaceful, Tao-centered Christian members of this close-knit community grieved over their unspeakably horrific losses, they invited the family of the killer to mourn with them at the mass funeral and prayed for the killer as well. As the Amish leader said, quote, "We have no enemies. We are all God's children, and forgiveness is at the very core of our Christian faith. If we can't forgive those who are lost and would do harm to us, then our faith would be meaningless." Unquote. These beautiful words are so similar in feeling to what Lao Tzu wrote in this verse. There is no greater misfortune than feeling, I have an enemy. And when two opponents meet, the one without an enemy will surely triumph. So how can you have an opponent without an enemy? In her illuminating book, The Tao of Inner Peace, Diane Dreher offers a response to that question. Keep this in mind as you apply the 69th verse of the Tao Te Ching into your own life. Quote, "The old perception of conflict as combat only narrows our vision. It limits our choices. It pulls us into endless struggles between competing polarities." Unquote. She then adds, quote, "Making enemies gives away our power, keeps us from taking responsibility for our lives. Instead of resolving conflict, we focus our attention on fearing, hating, and lashing out at perceived enemies." Unquote. The lesson from Diane's brilliant book, as well as this verse of the Tao Te Ching and the statement of the Amish community leader, is that conflict doesn't have to mean combat. In other words, someone with a contrary point of view doesn't have to be the enemy. Imagine if every general took these words of the Tao Te Ching to heart and practiced them. I dare not make the first move. There's no way war could exist. Lao Tzu advised that if war ever does become inevitable, one should practice defense rather than offense. One should never initiate hostilities, but recognize in the heat of battle that the battle itself is something to grieve about. With no concept of enemy and a heart that's filled with compassion, one stays harmonized with the Tao. The presence of combat, whether verbal or physical, is an indication that contact with the Tao has been lost. There should be no celebration, and every war and battleground conflict should be treated as a funeral with compassion ruling the day. As I sit here contemplating the visage of Lao Tzu, he seems to say that a world free from foes isn't as impossible as you may believe. This is how you can put this wisdom to work for you now. First, refuse to think of anyone as your adversary. Reread the most important line in this verse. When I and enemy exist together, there is no room left for my treasure. Your treasure is your peace of mind and your Tao connection, so your competitors in business, your opponents in an athletic match, and the members of a competing political party are not your foes, and those people whom a government declares are your enemies are most assuredly not. Affirm, I have no enemies. There are people with whom I have strong disagreements. I may even be required to defend myself and my way of life, but I will not think of them as enemies. Recall Lao Tzu's statement that the person without an enemy will surely triumph. Be that individual right now. And secondly, vow to never start a fight. Stay on the defensive side of disputes, aligning with Lao Tzu's advice to play the guest rather than make the first move. See colleagues where you once saw combatants by finding yourself in them. Convey compassion and caring towards your perceived adversaries who are actually representing a part of you. Refuse to start a fight, reminding yourself that you'd be battling with yourself. Find a way to see oneness in a holy encounter, since all of us are of the Tao. Do the Tao now. Reproduce these words found in Anne Frank's diary, written as she was being hunted by the Nazis. Quote, "In spite of everything, I still believe that people are really good at heart. I can feel the sufferings of millions, and yet if I look up into the heavens, I think that it will all come out right." Unquote. Post this for everyone in your family to see. 70th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "My teachings are very easy to understand and very easy to practice, yet so few in this world understand and so few are able to practice. My words have an ancestor, my deeds have a Lord. The people have no knowledge of this, therefore they have no knowledge of me. This is why the sage dresses plainly, even though his interior is filled with precious gems." Unquote. Living a God-realized life. I pondered this 70th verse of the Tao Te Ching for a week, reading and rereading more than 50 interpretations of it. I was particularly drawn to this phrase in the Essential Tao, Thomas Cleary's translation. Quote, "Those who know me are rare. Those who emulate me are noble." Unquote. I also asked Lao Tzu for direction, trying to determine what his message is for the 21st century. I knew that the master never would have spoken from a need to have his ego massaged. He was, after all, the original Tao master, enjoying a life centered in the great way, rather than ego and encouraging everyone to do the same. Try to imagine what it must have been like for this divine avatar to walk among his people in ancient China. He'd taken credulous notes of their warlike behaviors, all the while having an internal awareness of what was possible for all of his fellow human beings if they would only change the way they looked at their lives. Freedom, peace of mind, contentment, and virtually every other principle that I've described in these 81 essays were only a thought away. I can imagine that some 500-plus years later, Jesus of Nazareth might have felt the same sentiment that Lao Tzu expressed here in verse 70, something to the effect, "This is oh so easy, so simple to understand and to practice, yet so few are willing or able to grasp the essence of heaven on earth." I can almost feel the frustration that Lao Tzu is expressing in these lines as he urges us to live a Tao-centered existence rather than an ego-centered one. I've titled this brief essay Living a God-Realized Life because this is what I believe he's asking you to do throughout the 81 passages and particularly here in number 70. Quote, "My words have an ancestor, my deeds have a Lord," unquote, he says. And then immediately follows with the thought that the people just don't get it, so they clearly have no knowledge of me, he says. Lao Tzu's ancestor is the Tao, and the Lord of his deeds is that very same nameless source. He seems to be musing, "I think like God thinks. I speak as God, the creator of the universe, would speak, and therefore I act in accordance with these God-realized principles." I urge you to do the same, which is oh so easy if you just surrender and allow this life-sustaining Tao energy to guide you. Stop fighting. Eschew violent thoughts and deeds, and give up trying to control others or the world. Stay humble. Don't interfere. Respect your creative genius as well as that of others, and above all, return to your invisible source and shed your troublesome ego while you're still alive and incarnated as one of the 10,000 things. If you do all of this, you will naturally live a long life in joyful, non-judgmental peace. Think of how the great spiritual masters have been portrayed by artists throughout the centuries. Lao Tzu wears a simple robe. Jesus is outfitted in plain clothes and sandals. Saint Francis sports almost tattered rags. Buddha looks like a peasant with a walking stick, and Muhammad is depicted as a simple man. Then look at how the followers of the greatest spiritual teachers have been portrayed, living in the lap of luxury, opulence, and conspicuous consumption in golden palaces. The great sages dress plainly, even though they conceal the most precious commodity within themselves. And just what is this great treasure hidden within these masters? Verse 67 explained that it is God realization in the form of the three treasures, mercy, frugality, and humility. You don't need gold embroidered costumes and temples strewn with riches, both of which were the result of the sweat of countless servants and slaves to house their treasures. Dressing plainly keeps the sage in harmony with the simplicity of this message. This is what I hear Lao Tzu saying between the lines of this 70th verse, expressing the bewilderment that he feels as so few people seem to grasp his beautiful, simple message. First, know the Tao Te Ching. Change your mind about being one of the vast majority who doesn't understand or practice the teachings of the Tao Te Ching. Lao Tzu tells you that there's so little to do. All you need to remember is that your holiness is a piece of the Tao. According to A Course in Miracles, quote, your holiness reverses all the laws of the world. It is beyond every restriction of time, space, distance, and limits of any kind. Declare yourself to be one of those who possesses this knowledge and be willing to practice God realization every day. And secondly, see God everywhere. Make it your daily practice to seek the invisible force of God in everything you see and hear. In the 14th century, Meister Eckhart offered some advice on how to put this 70th verse of the Tao Te Ching into daily life. Quote, what is the test that you have indeed undergone this holy birth? Listen carefully. If this birth has truly taken place within you, then every single creature points you toward God, he said, unquote. He further advised, quote, if the only prayer you say in your whole life was thank you, that would suffice, unquote. Practice saying thank you, God, for everything. This is the way to God realization. Do the Tao now. Plan a day to be like the sage who dresses plainly without a jewelry, makeup, or fancy clothes. In fact, head out for the day in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. Wherever you go, stay in this plain mode and notice how irrelevant the attention paid to dress and looks seems. Tune into your feelings as you go about your business, unconcerned about how others view your appearance.